Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
I invite you to open your hymnals to the reading in the back, number 828, entitled Youth. Today our church service focuses on Adventist education and young people, the decisions they and their families make as relates to their education. So we have here a responsive reading that includes passages from Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, and the Psalms. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them.
Even
known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So we join together for our family prayer time. I would invite any who have special requests or things over which they are rejoicing to come forward and kneel with us here. And let us all kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, as a church family, we have gathered this morning around the table that reminds us of Jesus and the communion service and the gift of his life in our behalf. We're thankful for the things that happened so long ago there at Calvary. We want them to be fresh in our hearts, Lord, and meaningful and a directive for our lives. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and your willingness to accept us and to restore us to your original plan for us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that works within our hearts, showing us where we go astray, convicting us of the need to repent and to return to you and to call upon you for forgiveness. We come this morning, Father, confessing our failings, recognizing that sin is an anathema to you, and yet you entered into our sinful world through Jesus in order to save us. Again, we thank you for this wonderful gift. Lord, we come to worship you. We come to praise your name, to seek a closer relationship with you. We come to pray to you. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers for our country and our world situation. Hear our prayers for those who are in harm's way. Hear our prayers for those who have suffered loss this week as a result of wars or famine or storms. Lord, we don't always understand why these things take place. Yet we know that the battle for the hearts of mankind rages, that Satan is at work, that if it were his choice, all would perish without the knowledge of your salvation. Lord, you've given us the task of spreading the good news, the gospel message, the message of judgment and the second coming to this world. Strengthen us, guide us, make us effective for you, both here locally and as a world church. Lord, we're beginning outreach endeavors in the next few weeks here in Midland. I pray that you'll give us insight and courage to and diligence to ask our friends, to invite our friends to participate in these things, that their felt needs may be met, that we may bring them to a point of being able to offer them the solution to needs which they have not yet recognized but are deep in their hearts. And Lord, we would remember members of our own congregation this morning, especially those who are ill, and also our friends who need our prayers today. We silently raise many names in your hearing now, seeking your blessing. Thank you, Father, for hearing our silent prayers. Thank you, too, for answering them by giving us directives as to how we can serve you and bring your blessings and your truth to these friends for whom we have prayed. Lord, we look forward to the day when Jesus will come again in the clouds. I pray that each of us may be living each day of our lives here with that grand and glorious conclusion in mind, so that we will be ready when Jesus comes. In his name I pray. Amen.
It's time for the children's story.
All right, kids. Good to see such a good group up here this morning. Last summer, just after springtime, we had some birds come to our house, and we had a big wreath hanging right beside our front door. And what do you think happened? The birds decided to build a nest right in the top of the wreath, right by the front door. And we looked at them. Actually, these same birds, we think, came back last summer and did the same thing. They liked that spot. And we sort of knew that they made a big mess right at our front door. And so we went out, and the nest was about half built, and we sort of tore it all apart, and we took it all away and hid all the different parts of the nest. Well, what do you think happened? The very next morning, we went out and looked, and there was a whole nest out there again. And so we said, well, these birds, they're working, the mom and dad bird, they're working so hard, we'll let them have their nest there. And so I've got a picture, actually, for you. It wasn't a very pretty-looking bird, and the dad wasn't real pretty either, but they really wanted to have a nest there. All right, and there's a little closer picture. Now, pretty soon some eggs showed up in the nest, and then pretty soon some little baby birds showed up in the nest. And the mom and dad, they were working hard. They'd fly back and forth and bring all sorts of good food to the babies. And everything looked like it was going okay. And then one Sabbath morning, before we came to Sabbath school, Sharon went out there and looked, and guess what? There'd been a huge catastrophe. The wreath had fallen off. It was down on the ground, right on the concrete. And the mom and dad bird weren't anywhere around, and some of the baby birds were gone, but there was one little baby bird. Didn't have very many feathers, and he was laying there on the concrete, and he wasn't moving. And Sharon came back in the house. She was almost crying. She said, our birds, it's really a horrible thing has happened. So I went out there, and I looked, and I looked really close to the little baby bird. You could see it breathing just a little bit. And we said, well, what are we going to do? Should we bring it in and try to take care of it? It was so young. So finally I said, let's just put it back in the nest and see what happens. So I picked it up carefully, put the wreath back up on the wall, put a little string around it, tied it so it was more secure, put the baby bird back in there, and we came to Sabbath school. And you know what? When we came back from church that day, there was the mom bird sitting right on the nest again. And for several weeks after that, the baby kept growing, and they fed it, and eventually it flew away. And it seemed to be okay, and it survived, and it was a very, very privileged little bird. Now, so why do I tell you this story? There were people in Jesus' time that were pretty worried. There's a real famous part of the Bible where Jesus was talking to his friends, and he was telling them what kind of things to be worried about and what kind of things not to be worried about. And he talked about sparrows. Let me read a couple of verses. This comes from Luke chapter 12. And Jesus says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." God, I think, was looking down. He saw the problem with those little birds. And I was able to help one of them at least. And he worked with the mom and dad birds to save that little bird's life. God loves the birds, but this text reassures us that God loves us and cares for us even more than the little birds.
The scripture today is 2 Kings 4, 38 through 41. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, but there was a famine in the land. One day, as he was teaching the young prophets, he said to Gehazi, "Make some stew for a supper for these men." One of the young men went out into the field to gather vegetables and came back with some wild gourds. He shredded them and put them into the kettle without realizing that they were poisonous. But after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Oh, sir, there's poison in this stew." "Bring me some meal," said Elisha. He threw it into the kettle and said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it didn't harm them.
That's not the most well-known story in the Bible, but it's a good one. It's interesting when you look at schools in the Bible. The most prominent one was referred to in this story. We had the schools of the sons of the prophets. And Samuel, from what little we can gather, who was one of the early major leaders of Israel, gathered a small group of men around him and created a school of the prophets. This first one of these was at Ramah, and he went on later to establish similar schools at Gibeah, Bethel, Gilgal, and Jericho. And the Gilgal was referred to in the scripture reading. And this clearly was an important influence on maintaining the spirituality of the nation. And these schools, as far as we can tell, continued until the end of the Jewish Commonwealth, if you want to call it that. Samuel and the prophets took a special interest in these schools. If we look a little earlier, 2 Kings chapter 2, we have an interesting situation where it was almost time for Elijah. Remember, there's Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah was getting ready to be taken to heaven by God. And it's very interesting that the sons of the prophets, the kids at the school, were given a message in advance that Elijah was going to be taken that day. And in fact, two of the schools this happened, both Bethel and Jericho, and they passed on the word to Elisha. And that's one of the reasons that Elisha appears to have wanted to stick with Elijah so closely, because he knew an important event was going to happen that day. And if you read the fine print, it looks like there were 50 of the students that sort of thought they'd like to see the big event too, and they followed along as well. The Bible isn't clear whether they actually got to see the event, but they were trying to. And then perhaps a little more famous story, if we move forward to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll go ahead and read this. This is the first 7 verses. This is a very famous story. 2 Kings 6, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'Behold now, the place before you where you are living is too limited for us.'" It was too small of a school building. "Please let us go to the Jordan, and each of us take there from there a beam, and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live." So he said, "Go." Then one said, "Please be willing to go with your servants." And he answered and said, I shall go. Of course, this is Elisha. They wanted him to come with him. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, Alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, Where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron axe head float. Take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about Adventist education. And I've given you a little snapshot that schools played a very important role for the children of Israel. And I'd like to give you some thoughts about our schools today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Kind Father in heaven, ask your blessing on our time here together. You've ministered marvelously to our kids through our schools over many decades. Today we're going to talk a little bit about our schools, the benefits, and why our church sponsors them and why our young people benefit from them. And please, again, bless our discussion here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got these schools in the Old Testament, and I would propose to you some of the most important things that the Bible records about those schools were some of the neat spiritual experiences that happened. We don't know for sure what they taught there, but we do know from the few examples I've shown you that marvelous spiritual events occurred in the students that were exposed to them, and they grew marvelously spiritually, I'm sure, because of that exposure to those things. And so I would like to propose to you that our Seventh-day Adventist schools today also provide opportunities for marvelous spiritual experiences. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today. Before I do that, a few comments. Our church, our local congregation here, along with St. Charles and Saginaw, we spend over $100,000 each year providing our Tri-City school. We've got many dedicated, generous people who think it's our church schools are very important. We generously fund them. Seventh-day Adventist denomination is the seventh largest Protestant denomination in the world. We have the largest Protestant school system. Our denomination has always said schools are important, and we continue to do that. In North America, we spend over $1 billion every year on our schools. And we have over 1,000 kindergarten through ninth grade type of schools, 113 high schools, academies, and we have 15 colleges and universities here in North America. We invest a lot of money, a lot of people's time and effort in having our schools. They're very important. But I also want to say up front, we've got families here with young people. We've got families that have young people that are grown up and left home. And I don't want to convey at all that I have the last word on this. Parents are responsible for making their own choices, and I certainly respect parents for what choices they've made in the past and what choices they'll make in the future. Every kid is different. Adventist schools are marvelous things, but they're not for everybody. And so I respect you parents that are making tough choices for the education of young people. But I wanted to take the time today to highlight some of the things I think are really critical why we have our schools. And I hope that you will listen and think and that this will stir your minds a little bit. Part of the reason I wanted to talk this morning is we haven't really spent some time since I can remember a real sermon about Adventist education specifically from this pulpit. And I wanted to spend a few minutes this morning making sure that we are conveying the importance of this. The other reason is, I think if you talk to some of our older members who have been at this church for decades, I've been here for a few decades, I've watched the kids I looked up to. I've watched kids that I grew up with. I've watched kids since then. And I haven't done a real statistical correlation study of fancy count the numbers and see what's happened, but my gut feeling is that our kids that go to our Adventist schools have a much higher probability of being committed spiritual Seventh-day Adventists when they grow up. And I think if you talk to Ardith and Reed or Dick and Lois and others, you would get the same story. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to share this, because I think it's so important. I don't want to offend people, But I want you to be aware that this is something really marvelous that our church offers, and to consider it very carefully whether you should consider it. Okay, I'm going to talk about three schools this morning. This is going to be a little different kind of sermon. The three schools are the ones that are nearest and dearest to our heart, whether you should consider it. Okay, I'm going to talk about three schools this morning. This is going to be a little different kind of sermon. The three schools are the ones that are nearest and dearest to us, the ones that are the closest to our church, and ones that our church supports financially, very significantly, even at the Andrews University level. So I've got a few pictures, just to give you a flavor. I realize that some of you have never been to these places. I wanted to be a little more real to you. I was over at Great Lakes Adventist Academy a week ago, and I talked to one of their development people. I said, hey, give me some neat pictures of what's going on here. And they gave me the following pictures. I put one or two of my own, but these are largely from ones that they gave to me. This is from the center of campus, looking at the cafeteria and the gym auditorium facility. Those of you who have been to camp meeting will recognize this. This is where you go for the main church service. Wonderful facility. If you look at an aerial photograph of the campus, you'll see that the central part of the campus is down here. But all this stuff up here, anyone that's been to camp meeting knows very well, those are all the campsites and where you set up your tents and trailers and things. It's a very nice campus. And by the way, Cedar Lake, as it was originally called, was founded in 1898. And if you read the fine print and some of the advertising, there is a claim that it is the oldest continuously operating boarding academy in the denomination. It goes back a long ways. It's a very significant school in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was bought in 1898. A two-story public school building was purchased for $5. Now it has it's a coeducational school, about 250 students, teaches grades 9 through 12. It's about 1 hour southwest of here. And again, it's where our Michigan camp meeting is held. This is the guys' dorm. This is an outdoor biology class. This was taken this fall at a Spanish class, and some good food there. Supposedly Spanish food was going to be getting ready to be devoured. Just wanted to point out, we've got a lot of international students that come out from outside of Michigan. When I look at a school, I don't like to brag because my kids are there, but when I see kids coming from Korea to go to the school, they can pick any school in the United States they want to go to. And these kids picked Great Lakes Adventist Academy. It's one of the premier Adventist academies that we operate, in my feeling. I'm a little biased, I'll admit that. This is at the close of a week of prayer presentation. And a commitment being made here, and kids raising their hands for a commitment to Jesus. This is in the church on campus there. A recent baptism by the campus chaplain. And I can tell you the kids really rally around these kids when they make a commitment. This is a big event that the kids really support each other when things like this happen. 2 weeks ago, we had the Araconas here. I think all of you were blessed by their ministry, and it was certainly a lot more than just gymnastics that was done here. They really blessed us with their services, their play on Friday night and church service. A very spiritual organization. We also have an orchestra, which does tour, and actually is touring in about a week or two, down to Texas. Again, when we say tour, these are usually spiritual events where we're ministering to other Adventist schools or other churches. And the choir. This is Brock Willie presenting a evangelistic meeting, I think at Montcalm County earlier this year. A program that was completely operated by the students with help from the faculty, but really put together by the students. So, let me tell you a couple of quick stories. It's nice to look at pictures and see what's happening. When the Araconas were here 2 weeks ago, some of the kids stayed at our house, and We were talking to them briefly and sort of talking about, you know, which academy is the best. And they were talking. Well, our academy does this and does that. And one of the kids finally spoke up and said, you know, my parents and I picked this academy because it's the most spiritual. The spiritual atmosphere on campus is why I'm here. And I thought for a high school kid that was, when we were talking about sports and gymnastics and all sorts of stuff, he came back that that was the reason he was there. And that's not unusual, I think. He was brave enough to speak up and say that. Because I'm willing to give up some of those other things because I want to go to school that's really spiritual. Our kids have a math teacher, Mrs. Heslop. I think Tony knows her well. I think she was there when he was there. A very tough teacher, but a teacher that the kids love. We were in over there for Parents' Visitation Day a couple weeks ago, and they have a shortened class period and sort of get to see what's happening. Two things happened that really impressed me. First of all, there was a prayer time at the beginning, and the kids opened up. There were all sorts of personal things shared. They spent 5 or 10 minutes sharing their needs. Very meaningful prayer at the beginning of that class. It was obvious that wasn't done just when the parents were there. Those kids were used to sharing and praying together. And she also warned the parents. She said, you know, when you go online and you look at your kids' grades, she said, what's happening this year? She had a real commitment to help kids have daily devotion and Bible study. So she put together a program where she distributes text Bible chapters at the beginning of each week. If the kids write at the top of their assignment, I read the chapter, they get extra points. You say, that's sort of a goofy thing for a math class. But when I go on that Edline internet site and I look at my kids and I see, they don't always get perfect scores, but sometimes they get a perfect score and there's a couple points above it, I know they read that chapter. Well, that teacher is trying to build some habits into those kids. I want my kids to have teachers like that. Last Sabbath, we were down at Southwestern Adventist College. We took some of the basketball players down there. They had a big basketball tournament down there. Sabbath morning is sort of the sponsors. You have to get up and rouse the kids. You know, there's a fantastic program planned for the kids by the university. They've got to wake up and get dressed and get ready. So it was my duty to go down and sort of bang on the guys' doors. You know, the four guys in a room at a hotel. They've been there for a couple of days. You open the door, you look in, it's just disaster. Okay, there's clothes, just, it's bad. It was dark in that room, but there was a light on. And one of the kids was reading his Bible. I want my kids to have friends like that, to be able to have friends like that. They weren't doing that to show me. They didn't know I was coming. That was them. Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit about our own school, Tri-City. Most of you have been there, but not everyone, so I've got a few pictures. Remind you that our church, along with Saginaw and St. Charles, are the three supporting congregations. And we support with both financially, and there are many people that help out with the program. They're all the way from changing light bulbs to fixing toilets to having a week of prayer talks to tutoring. There's a lot of adults from our church that are out there helping. And that's very much appreciated. This is a picture of the school. It's about 1 mile this side of Fashion Square Mall. And actually, our school, this is the 50th, we're approaching the 50th anniversary year of our school. So our school has been around and ministered to a lot of kids, too. Jody Goodfellow was involved in raising some funds for some playground equipment a few years ago. Just a picture of part of our playground. Our three teachers, Connie Hickman and Charlotte Anderson on the right. And I call Esther Tromley a teacher as well because she teaches our keyboarding and helps out in the library and other things. So she is both accommodation secretary and teacher. Some very dedicated people that really minister to these kids. When you sit on board meetings and you talk about problems at the school and these teachers speak up and say, you can tell that they see potential in these kids. They want them to be able to grow and they have high hopes for them. One of our own, reading in the classroom. This year we added a ping pong table, which we had one but was damaged, and this was a new addition this year for lunchtime. Pastor Quillen has been teaching gymnastics. And I would point out to you, it's a real experience when your kids get to take gymnastics from the senior pastor in our district. And he's there right with his shoes off, showing you how to do things. And they appreciate him being there. Artis had a big smile on her face. I had to put this picture in here. at one of our recent week of prayers, they asked board members to come and share with the kids. And it was a good experience. I don't know what Artis talked about, but she's got a bird book and a glass of water here, so I'm sure it was something interesting. But I'm sure they got a good dose of Artis' enthusiasm. Katie here with Connie, recipient of one of our Student of the Month awards. I should point out that when you have a small school, you can do some sort of neat things. And when you cycle through a couple of years, most of the kids have a chance to get a Student of the Month award. This is a Bible Labs project. Audrey Burns, who actually had a week of prayer, a whole week of prayer recently. But in this case, they were making cookies, and they took those out later and distributed to people in the community near the school. We have a monthly formal Bible Labs activity where the kids are involved in outreach and helping other people. There's another example. We visited some shut-ins, and this lady was very happy to have some young kids come by. Kids are involved in a puppet ministry. They have a lot of fun. If any of you have seen these, they're really, really hilarious little skits with real spiritual messages. This is an older picture, one of my favorites, but this was graduation here at our church here, and I point out that some of the big events at school, when you can have them associated with your church, become much more meaningful. You can have graduation where we challenge our kids to continue their spiritual growth. It's not just an event to finish school. It's an event. It's a stepping stone to richer spiritual experience as they grow older. And having those at our churches, I think, is very meaningful for the kids. This is our current group. They're all waving here, but I think if I ask them, they would all say thank you for Midland Church's support of our Tri-City School. A couple comments. I've sat in what I would call it a missions committee. I'm the chairman of the board at this point at Tri-City. We had a mother whose daughter had been at our school in the past, had gone to a different school, and was coming back. She had some attendance problems, and it was not an automatic to allow her to re-enroll her daughter. And so this mother was pleading with us to let her daughter come back to the school. She was not an Adventist. And so we talked about why our school was so important, so different. And she basically said it was because the kids loved her daughter, and her daughter felt accepted and warm and welcome there. And she wanted her daughter to be in a stress-free environment where the teachers wanted her to learn. Not being an Adventist, she wasn't tuned into some of the spiritual things that caused that environment, but she recognized it, and she wanted her daughter to be there. We had a situation last year. I got a call from the sheriff's office in Saginaw, and they had apprehended a boy that had done some vandal work, had been shooting paintballs at the school. And he asked me if the school wanted to press charges. So I said, well, why don't you give us a chance to talk to the family? And he said, I said, I can do whatever you want to do. He said, they have to come if I tell them. And I said, well, that's not threatened. Just tell them that we want to talk to them. And so we got our sort of senior school administrative people together. Family came in one evening, and we were able to talk to that boy about future directions for his life. We told him we consider him just like one of our students. We prayed with his family. Told him we were sorry what he did. We appreciated that he'd come back and had tried to clean things up. We were not going to press charges, but we wanted him to realize that it was a serious thing and that we appreciated that he and his family were coming to talk to us, and we wanted to pray that his life would be fulfilling and better in the future. Marvelous experience. Okay. What about Andrews University? Andrews was started in 1874, Battle Creek, eventually moved to the Berrien Springs site, which is in southwestern Michigan, about 3.5 hours from here. It has about 3,200 students and an additional 1,700 affiliate students at other Adventist colleges and universities around the world that Andrews helps, reaches out to those other universities to enhance the quality of their program. So those are sort of students of Andrews. They've got 180 different undergraduate and graduate degree programs. The university has been bragging in the last few years about their ratings in U.S. News and World Report. Interesting number that they're quoting in the promotional literature now is that they are the 14th most diverse university in the U.S. So out of all the hundreds, thousands of universities in the U.S., they're ranked 14th in terms of their diversity of their student body. Over 100 different countries are represented. Well, why is that? It's because Seventh-day Adventist young people from all over the world come to Andrews to get training. And it's a chance for kids that are there to experience that, to rub shoulders. I'm told that there is a Friday night program now that where all the kids from all the different cultures get together, and the doors sort of get blown off the building as they all praise God together. It's all the different cultures together having fun on a Friday night, being spiritual together. I'll show you a few pictures. This is looking from the top of the library toward the Pioneer Memorial Church. The flags there are very much symbolic of the international flavor of the campus. Special occasions, those flags are put up. Quite an interesting experience. They put those up when I was actually going to school. They created this this area. And to see the kids from the different countries putting up their own flag on a Friday night program, before a Friday night program, is quite a moving experience. Prominent now in front of Pioneer Memorial Church is a sculpture of Jan Andrews, who was the first missionary that was sponsored by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He went to Europe. And to me, when kids walk by that, yeah, they see that, but that is symbolic of the mission of a school. It's sending kids out to do ministry to the world. That's in a prominent place on campus. That kids see that every day when they go into that church for chapel or whatever. It sends a message. There's a picture inside the church. Recently, we had a gift from a family in the community, not Adventist community, that actually donated a very large amount of money for a Performing Arts Center on campus. This is the Howard Performing Arts Center, a picture on the inside. Very marvelous facility, and it's an investment from community members in Andrews and helping Andrews reach out to the community as well. Beautiful campus, fall colors. Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary is on campus here. This is the main entrance. Many of our pastors are trained here. Several years ago, they started a Passion Play event. And this is an enormous undertaking by students and faculty and guests. Here you can see Jesus coming in on riding the donkey. And I think I actually recognize one of the faces, one of the faculty there. This is done for the community and is a very large event now. Done over, I believe, over the Easter weekend. There is a very consistent, steady ministry to inner-city ministry. Benton Harbor and St. Joe are close by. You remember, Benton Harbor had some very major riots about 2 years ago, if I remember right. Sabbath afternoons, kids are out there. This is a picture of some kids ministering to a family and working with the kids of that family. Each year, it turns out, the introduction to mission class goes on a field trip, a mission trip. And this happens, this last year they actually went to Lebanon. I can't imagine going to Lebanon last year. But here is a picture of one of the students giving a week of prayer meeting at Middle East College. And they also went to some of the local non-Adventist schools and ministered to them. And another famous program that's going now since 1994, Division of Architecture has sent a mission group. They initially built an orphanage in Bolivia, and I understand they've gone back every year to add to that and to work on that. This is a recent picture of some heavy labor going on there. Lots of chances for ministry. A couple comments, a couple stories about Andrews. Through Dow Chemical, I've had the privilege, occasionally the chemistry department will call me and say, hey, we've got a good student. Can you find a summer intern position for them? And my experience in the past has always been marvelous. I've got people where they have worked before. I immediately call them up and say, we got another Andrews student. Are you interested? It's absolutely. I mean, we'll take any Andrews student that you send our way. So I got a resume for a young lady that the department sent to me. It was one of those blow-your-eyes-out kind of resumes with good grades and lots of community service to appear to be a wonderful person on paper. And this person went to, ended up with a position in Freeport, Texas, and did a fantastic job. In fact, I'll tell you her name was Kristen Schmidt. She went to Great Lakes as well. In fact, she was one of those little girls that they throw up real high, and but also, but I didn't know at the time, a very good student. So she worked for the summer down at Dow facility in Freeport. I called up her supervisor afterwards, said, hey, how'd it go? Oh, she said, fantastic. This person just marvelous. Now send us some more. And then I called up the chairman of the department. And I said, from your perspective, how did it go? Is Dow giving good opportunities for your students? And he immediately changed the theme. He said, did you hear what happened? And I started to get a little worried. I said, no. I said, well, a little bit of background. He said, her parents came to me when they found out that she was going to Freeport, Texas. And they said, well, she's going to be living in an apartment with two other girls. These are college students that come from all over the U.S. They're not Adventists. You know, she's going to have, what's our little girl going to do? I mean, this is a junior in college. And her parents are still worried about, if she leaves this nurturing, protective environment, how is she going to do? It's a junior in college, and these are concerned parents. Well, she went down there, and it turns out, and the chairman was just ecstatic, right? He said, you know what happened? She got down there. The other kids didn't have anything to do. Friday nights, it's sort of a small town. It's not a very interesting place for a college student to spend a summer. And she talked to them and invited them to the youth meetings at the church. They started coming to church, as church services as well. And he said it was a fantastic outreach event for her. So I was just totally impressed that here's a chairman, and the thing he's most excited about is not how well she did in her work, but that she had made a major spiritual step forward. She'd gone through an obstacle of moving out to a totally unprotected worldly environment, and she'd done marvelously. And when I look at that, that's the kind of professors I want my kids to study with, ones that want them to succeed spiritually. One other story. Another student actually came to Midland, spent two summers working here. We didn't see him very much. I think he had a girlfriend somewhere else. So didn't come to our church, but he was here in Midland working at Dow. And I'll point out that when Dow invites a student to come back, those are usually outstanding students. It's not very often that they will invite a student to come back for a second summer. And he was invited back. Well, I had the chance to meet with him on campus, and it was several years ago. This was actually when Net 98 with Dwight Nelson was running. Of course, that was sponsored on the Andrews University campus. And he said, you know, why don't you come over after the meeting? He said, I'm running one of the cameras. I want to just show you around. And so after the meeting, I looked him up. I knew I could see him up there running one of the video cameras. And he took me on a grand tour up in the control room, showed me the camera, took me downstairs, where all the translators were. We, you know, I don't know, 20 translators just going like crazy, translating live into all these different languages broadcast globally. And I could tell that he was just so ecstatic to be taking part in that. And then he told me one other thing. He said, you know, after every one of these events, we have pizza for everybody. All the translators, everyone. And he said, you know, some people are complaining about that for health reasons or whatever. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a real education. Leaders, our spiritual leaders, get lots of grief. He was seeing a glimpse of people that were trying to do good things for people, and there were some people on the sidelines that were complaining. I said, that's real education. And I talked to the faculty as well, and they, of course, had slacked off on their homework assignments because they knew there were kids involved in these programs. They wanted to fully experience and not have to worry about their schoolwork when the series was on. And I just those are kids that I want my kids to have for friends, kids like that. And the postscript on that story is at Oshkosh. This was Joe Muha, by the way, it was his name. Oshkosh, we set up camp when we were there this last time at the International Camporee, and there were all these thousands of kids there. Well, wouldn't you know it, right next to our campsite, the next door campsite, was, I think it was the Metro Church, and Joe was the Pathfinder director. And again, I looked at that. I want my kids to be able to have friends like that. Kids that are going somewhere, that are living out their spiritual, religious experience in the real world. Well, maybe you're not a student. Maybe you're not a parent of students. I point out to you there are lots of ways to interact with our schools and help. As you can tell, I'm pretty enthusiastic about the spiritual opportunities at our schools. We mentioned the Bible labs. We have needs at Tri-City for parents to help. If you have a half a day or something, can drive, a chance to help some kids. We have maintenance opportunities. There's tutoring opportunities. Kids that are having trouble reading, we have parents come in and help kids. It's a tremendous blessing for the teachers. Maybe you've got a grandchild or another student that you know that need some encouragement or a little financial assistance to attend one of our schools. Maybe you're parents of really young children who are not even old enough for school yet. Really consider taking them to some school events. Let your younger kids know what's going on. Make them feel comfortable at these schools. And obviously you can pray for the kids and teachers. Teaching is not always easy when you have a bunch of kids and a lot of parents that think they know how to do things better. So, a conclusion. Why Adventist education? I haven't talked too much today about quality of education. That's a different topic. But I've tried to emphasize the spiritual aspects, the opportunities. I mean, an Adventist school is so much more than a place where they don't teach evolution. It's so much more than a school that doesn't have Friday night football games. I've tried to illustrate a few examples of the kind of students, the kind of faculty, the powerful spiritual atmosphere that's at our schools. You'll reflect back on the schools of the prophets, and I mentioned earlier what was recorded in the Bible are some interesting examples of spiritual events that happened there. And I would propose to you again that our schools provide opportunities for major spiritual events for our kids. And that's through their fellow students, that's through the faculty. The schools are different. And so, if I reflect back on this, for my own kids, I really want them at a school where the students are pulled toward Jesus. I want them at a school where prayer is normal and it's regular and frequent. I want my kids at a school where they have opportunity for outreach and for missions. And I want my kids at a school where they have truly spiritual friends and where they have spiritual friends to date and they have spiritual friends to marry. I want my kids at a school where the math teacher prays for them. And I want them at a school where a professor is exuberant about the spiritual progress, the milestone that one of their students has experienced. And I want my kids at a school where the teachers are training the kids for heaven. That's the bottom line. I've used this example before, but in closing, this is sort of symbolic, but I want you to think about this. If you look at the school newspaper for your school, what's on the front page? What do the students choose to put on the front page? Is it the wide receiver catching the winning touchdown pass at the cross-school rival school at a football game? Or is it the kids that are speaking at a week of prayer? Our schools are powerful forces for molding our kids. So what do the schools hold up as their heroes? What direction is your school pulling? Gracious Father in Heaven, we have spent a few moments here today talking about our Seventh-day Adventist schools, but I want to close with asking for your special blessing on our parents, our families here in our church, and our young people. We've talked about one option, but there are many options for ministering to our young people. And please bless our parents with wisdom. Bless our young people that they can be committed and can really grow spiritually closer to you. That's our prayer this morning. Our young people are so important, and we ask your blessing on them as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.